Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Because as countries across Europe struggle with rising coronavirus numbers, the WHO has emphasised the need for leaders to balance the disruption to lives and livelihoods with the need to protect health workers and health systems as intensive care units fill up. For more, I'm joined now by Dr. David Nabarro, the World Health Organization's Special Envoy on COVID-19. Dr. Nabarro, a serious second wave of coronavirus sweeping across the continent. Where did things go wrong, do you think, or was it always somewhat inevitable that we were going to end up here after we lifted the restrictions of the first lockdown?
Well, good morning, Philip, and good morning to all listeners. Yes, it's inevitable that with this kind of virus, you'll always face the pressure that comes from a really very rapidly transmitting pathogen that can move into societies and have outbreaks building up incredibly quickly. The only way to deal with it is to hold it back. And it's a very tough thing to hold back, especially as the numbers increase. The question that will be constantly being discussed in European capitals as this new resurgence occurs is, could we have put more elements in place during the summer months that would have meant that this resurgence was less profound? And I suppose, from my perspective, the answer has to be yes, because I'm just not prepared to accept that this virus is inevitably going to be causing this degree of problem and inevitably going to require us to go into draconian responses.
Okay.
Yes? Yeah.
Well, what that then invites me to ask you is, if a country was really smart, would we now be planning on how to deal with a third wave? Given that we are getting better at predicting this virus path and we see what does and doesn't work increasingly in trying to control, should we be putting in place the resources and the measures that you're talking about now to deal with a third wave as we tackle this second wave?
Absolutely. I mean, you're in this 6-week period of really stringent restrictions on population movement, which will, I believe, help you to have a lower incidence rate of the disease and may well end up protecting health services in much of the country. But you've got to be using this time. We've all got to be using this time to make sure it doesn't happen again and we don't have a yo-yo between what we might consider normal life and the privations of now. And what does that mean? Well, it does mean every single one of us taking the precautions seriously. Physical distancing, mask wearing, isolating when we're sick, practicing excellent hygiene and protecting those who are most vulnerable. And secondly, it means putting in place the kind of community-based public health service, what I call a microstructure of locally integrated operations that involve all actors doing, getting the intelligence in about where the virus is, doing the detective work to be able to see which people are most at risk, and then responding together. This does require really high level of planning and organisation. And I know that's what authorities are looking at right now in Ireland. And it's got to be done everywhere, in every county, in every locality. Indeed, every single person in the country ought to know who is the responsible person who they can get in touch with when they get disease and who they can work with to get the outbreaks properly contained and suppressed.
There is nonetheless a growing chorus of criticism, and people are pointing out that the Irish restrictions are out of line with what is happening elsewhere in Europe and have been doing for a number of weeks now. You really are probably the best placed person to answer this question. Are Irish restrictions out of line with the rest of Europe, or are they proportionate to the circumstances that exist in Ireland?
If we go to the north of your country, particularly at the border with the part of the British Isles that shares the same island with you, part of UK, you have a really potentially very high incidence of disease in parts of Ireland. And this needs to be taken very, very seriously. It can explode in terms of intensity so quickly. And my judgment is that the correct decisions have been made. I know it took a little bit of time to get agreement between the public health leaders and the political leaders, but you've done it and you're working on it together. And so, as always, I'm saying, I think you're doing right. Take it super seriously. But while you're dealing with it now, please put in place the essential steps that are necessary to ensure that after this particular stringent restrictions are over, that you'll be able to get on with life without all the time looking over your shoulders and fearing yet another onslaught, what you just referred to, Philip, as the third wave. Get the work in place now. And that does mean everybody in Ireland, all 5 million people, actually taking this super seriously. Become a model for the rest of Europe. You are a model on so many other things. Be a model on how to deal with the coronavirus.
Some of the sharpest criticism, excuse me, of the Irish government has come from the airline industry in this country. Of course, freedom of movement of travel of people is one of the central, the founding principles of the European Union. How easy would it be and how proportionate would it be, in your opinion, to try and convince the governments of Europe that, no, we actually all need to surrender this right of freedom of movement for a while?
Well, freedom in society comes with responsibility and discipline. And we must not forget that. There's no such thing as total freedom. And so I would like to ask everybody to recognize that getting ahead to a situation where you can travel will require taking responsibility for what's going on. So if I could just get that point across fully, that would perhaps be helpful. We all have to be mutually responsible in order to enjoy the freedoms that we've come to really take for granted in democratic societies.
Children will return to school after a half-term break on Monday. And there is increasing disquiet amongst the teaching staff that this is the one area of Irish life that seems to have really been largely unchanged. Yes, there are social distancing restrictions and pods and bubbles and so on inside the schools. But what is the evidence from your point of view that we are safe to let children go back to school, that there is very little intra-school transmission?
Well, we don't have, unfortunately, a full picture of what goes on between children and in schools. It's one of the tricky areas. There are several that have to still be resolved. The virus continues to give us, unfortunately, some puzzles that are just really tough. But you just mentioned about social distancing, pods and bubbles. I just want to say that I'm seeing reports from many schools of amazingly thoughtful action being undertaken by head teachers, working with parents, working with local authorities to do everything possible to take seriously the safety of children, the safety of teachers, the safety of parents, and to do it very, very carefully. I'd love it sometimes to be able to harvest all the brilliance that's going on in schools around Europe, because it is great. I've just been talking to many teachers and pupils myself recently to really pick this up. Congratulations to all of you. Keep the physical distancing there. Do work with the pods and the bubbles, because they make so much difference. Try to keep schools open, even if you have one or two cases, because that should theoretically be possible. Make sure that when pickup occurs, that parents do not congregate and create spreading opportunities, but pick up their children with the distancing. And most importantly, remember that children sometimes are even better than adults at making sure that the logic of prevention is properly carried through at all times. They will hold us to account.
Finally, I assume that you're still encouraging everybody to go and get a flu vaccine. We are experiencing critical shortages of the vaccine in a number of parts of the country. Is that an experience that's being shared right the way across Europe, or is the supply chain in Ireland just dysfunctional?
No, supply chains everywhere are just being tested to the limit. There's a demand for flu vaccine throughout Europe that is much bigger than usual. And it's putting huge stresses on the supply side and also causing some challenges for those who are responsible for administering. It's just so unusual to get very, very big demand right at the beginning of the vaccination season. So I'm just going to say to people, please be patient, especially with your healthcare providers and others who are offering vaccination services. It may be beyond their power to get the vaccine to you, but I do know that there's really strenuous efforts throughout Europe to get the vaccine to where it's needed as quickly as possible.
Dr. David De Barra, the World Health Organization's Special Envoy on COVID-19, thank you very much.